magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, finally Friday, May 17th, 2019. In 2 days, the Singing Men of GNN will be sharing at Christ Church of Oak Brook. I am asking for prayer that God will use these men as we get to do a road trip up together tomorrow. We do this symposium workshop where we'll meet three other men's choirs and we'll sing together, rehearse together, be trained together, and then come 3 p.m. on Sunday, we'll be presenting at Christ Church of Oak Brook, and it's a glorious occasion as it's a lot of patriotic songs and wonderful songs from the past. Combined together, over 100 men singing, and then we all have our opportunity to sing two or three or four songs. So be praying that up as we trust and desire that God will work through these groups and touch the audience. And it'll be a really good time for the singing men to travel up together. We're carpooling, and I think there's about 10 different cars going to have all the singing men arrive. We'll stay overnight tomorrow night in a hotel and then be ready to sing at Christ Church of Oak Brook on Sunday. So I'd ask for specific prayer, just safe travels, and that we will be in the center of God's will in the decisions and the way we sing and the things we are doing during this time, and that people will be blessed as a result of the many efforts that the men have made in rehearsals these many weeks. So, yeah, that's coming up. Exciting times. Children are out of school, at least Judah Christian School. Esther's last day was yesterday. It was one of those where you kind of go in, and it's called field day or something, Jason, where I don't know what do. They kind of go. They show
they run
up.
Around like crazy people.
They run around, and so it's been a pretty good week. I said, no homework on Tuesday night? No, Daddy, you know, last day is Thursday. And tomorrow's this. So other schools will be getting out, if not this weekend, in the next week or two. When's Muhammad's school? When's their last day?
2 weeks.
Two more weeks.
Oh, the day after Memorial Day. Yeah, because we were kind of like, yeah, why did they gotta go back the Tuesday after Memorial Day? Because they had one snow day, which we just kind of shake our head at, because after Memorial Day, we're like, we're done.
Yeah,
we're out.
Geez.
We're not going back. What are you, crazy?
Right. So, yeah, Esther, she's actually coming up to Oak Brook. Her and Holly are going to join us. And so, exciting times. Summertime begins and a lot more family time. In fact, we're going to have you on Monday's edition of Mark and Friends. We're going to talk about that, training the child, you know, when they wake up, when they sit down, you know, when they walk along the road in the ways of the Lord. So
we'll
have you back
to that
on Monday. So, all right. Exciting times to be alive, as Janet Parshall would say.
Always. It's all about perspective, right? That's what it is. I was thinking about Hebrews chapter 4, actually, and just thinking about this verse, you know, and how do we look at God, and how do we see God, and how do we think about God, and what do we think when we think about God? I think A.W. Tozer said the most important thing about a man is what he thinks about when he thinks about God.
Right. That's what I think of the book, Knowledge of the Holy? Is that
think
that one?
Pursuit of the Holy, maybe? Okay. I don't know.
There's one autobiography of God by Lloyd John Ogilvy, and I think he has that quote in very beginning, because he talks about characteristics of God, or a lot of Bible passages for us to get to know God, and he quotes that very reference that you made. You know, it's so important that we think rightly about God. I think it begins with it.
Yeah, and so verse 14 says this. It says, since then we have a great high priest. Now, I want to contextualize this verse just a little bit, and I want to change it to just to say, since then we have a great high pastor. The reason that it says we have a great high priest is because during the time when this is written, when the book of Hebrews is written, there is the priestly system. There's a priestly order, the temple sacrifices, all the things that are happening in Jerusalem. And so the writer of Hebrews, who many believe it's Paul, some believe it's not Paul. I tend to lean toward the Pauline camp, but that really makes no difference when we're talking about understanding it. The writer here wants you to know that when you come to the temple, your natural inclination is to go like, well, the priest, look at the priest. Oh, the priest is so holy. He's got his ephod on. Look, he's wearing the robes. Oh, priest, will you pray for me? Oh, priest, will you make intercession for me? Will you sacrifice the animal for me? Will you do all this? And God put the priestly system in place for like training wheels for us, to help us with our obedience, to help us to understand our obedience, to offer leadership and guidance in the things that are for the Lord. And so in the same way, we have the church today. Now, the church is different because the church is the bride of Christ. It's blood bought by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But the metaphor still stands. The writer of Hebrews says, since we have a great high priest, since we have a great high pastor, which means that the pastor in the church, yes, is prominent because they teach the Word of God, is prominent because they're called to shepherd and lead and guide and equip the saints for the works of ministry, as we all know from Ephesians 4:11 and 12. But there is always one greater. There is always one greater. The writer of Hebrews said, since we have a great high priest, which means we don't need another one. We don't need another one. In fact, the writer of Hebrews is going to say, look at the blood of bulls and goats. You don't need that anymore. You don't need all that anymore because we have this high priest who is so sure of the work that he had done on your behalf that he sat down. And we can get ourselves mixed up. What do you think, Mark? We can get ourselves mixed up.
And he didn't just sit down anywhere. He sat down at the right hand of God the Father
right.
Almighty.
Yeah. Yeah, I sit down in the lazy boy at the end of a long day. But it says, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus. By the way, I can't yet, as a pastor of the people, say that I've passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, I don't have that title. Let us hold fast our confession. So listen, because we have God in the right perspective, because we understand Jesus in the right perspective, we have a great high pastor, a great high priest, then, and he is Jesus, the Son of God who passed through heavens, then we hold fast to our confession. What is our confession? That Jesus Christ is Lord. The historic confession that people were killed, they were martyred, they were persecuted and prosecuted for, saying Jesus Christ is Lord in light of all the other things that wanted to be the Lord of your life. And I'm going to offer some advice, or how about this, some perspective from the pastorly side of this. As pastors, so I'm speaking to a specific group right now that might be listening and tuning in, we need to understand this verse because you're not the great high priest. And we can get it in our mind that we have to be the great high priest. We have to strive hard. We have to work hard. And at the end of the day, we have a pretty good excuse, right, brothers? Because we could say, we're doing it for the Lord.
Right.
But here's the problem. I think it was earlier this week I got word that Chuck Moore over at the First Baptist Church of Savoy had a heart attack in the middle of the night. Now, I don't really quite understand heart attacks, but I think that when you're not supposed to have one is when you're sleeping. Because your body's like at rest. In fact, I even Googled like the chances of it happening while you're asleep, and it's much smaller, way smaller. Why? Because you're resting. You're at ease. But you know what's really funny, and I'm not saying this to make light of how a church is operating or anything. I just want to, these are the things that strike me interesting. It's the Monday before that I was talking to somebody who goes to Chuck's church and who loves Chuck and loves what the church is doing. And they say, boy, Chuck has really been working hard for the Lord here. And in light of the information that I then heard about his heart attack, I thought, maybe too hard? Maybe harder than needs to be done? I don't know. I'm not going to make that qualification. But I know in my own heart, so I'm going to bring that back over on my side of the fence. I know in my own heart that I can, in the work of the church and the work for the Lord, begin to think that I have to be the great high priest. That I have to be the one. And you know what helps me not to do that? People around me who are bold enough and strong enough to go, you know what, Jason, you don't have to be God. You know what, Jason, you don't have to do that. Jason, just take it easy. It's okay. We'll help. We'll come alongside. Many hands make for light work. But I think we need this perspective, both as pastors, but also as parishioners, that the great high priest, the great high pastor at all times is always Jesus Christ, not us. That means you have to be careful as the person who attends the church to lift your pastor up into a place where he is trying to fulfill being the great high priest that he doesn't have to be, that he's not called to be. He's not. You know what he's called to be? And I don't want to rant. He's called to be obedient. That's what he's called to be. When it comes to faithful men and women, we need to get the word great out of our vernacular. Because the word great is a crushing kind of weight. My pastor's great. What a great message, Pastor. Pastor, you're really great. You know what? I'm just going to be honest. We try and live in the space of great then. Because once somebody proclaims that over your life, the kind of the bar's been set, and you're like, man, how do I keep hitting that? And the surest way to hit great every week is to leave obedience in the dust. Because you know what? Sometimes it isn't great. I've given many a messages that were not great. And found out in the back end that God used them in ways that I could never have imagined. And you know why he did that? Because he uses the foolish things to confound the wise. I mean, I scratched my head. Maybe if you're a pastor, you're listening to this. You scratch your head and you go, wait a second. You got saved when I said that? Because that was like the worst part of the message. Like, I had the illustration at the beginning was killing it. But, like, that's the thing? That's the thing? Yeah, you know why? Because you thought you were so wise in how you crafted this whole message, and God used the piece of it that seemed the weakest to confound you, to show the power at work was not you, but him, the great high priest. And so maybe this is hard for some to hear. I really don't know, but I just felt it on my heart to say this because I think that we just have to be careful. You know, and maybe I'm a little more sensitive the season of life I'm in right now. But listen, friends, pastoral burnout is like crazy right now. The amount of pastors who leave ministry, they said 4 out of 5 pastors will not finish their pastorate. They never will. They won't even transfer to another pastorate. They'll just leave ministry. People are leaving ministry in droves because of the stress and the pressure, the depression, the addiction. There are ministries out there right now that are wonderful ministries that actually provide counseling to pastors for free because pastors don't go get counseling for all the things that they deal with because they can't afford it. And so there's ministries out there that pay for this now. Listen, what a sad day we have in the life of the church when a para ministry has to care for the pastors because we've lost sight of that. Mm. We've lost sight of that because caring for your pastor is loving one another. It's lifting them up, and not lifting them up into a pedestal, but lifting them up to a place where they can see God clearly and they can worship God just the same as you want to, and that they can be whole and that they can be healthy.
And shouldering some of the work, not believing or expecting the pastor to do everything, that it's a team.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's really where, you know, we talked about this before, you and I, Mark, many times. The pastor's job is to equip the saints for the works of service. Why is he do that? Because you can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. Look at Jesus was God made flesh, and he still got 12 guys to come around him to do the work, and he sent them out 2 by 2, and he was creating a movement of what it looks like to bring the gospel out there. But we just have to be very careful, and I don't know why I even launched into talking about this, but I just think it is so important because we have to be careful. You know, and I've been in a lot of places and a lot of churches where on the back end, people are in the church going, I don't know what happened to the pastor. I don't know why he did that. I don't know what happened. Listen, the warning signs, the bells were ringing all along. The bells were ringing all along. It's just when you stand at a distance and you clap and tell him how great he is, then chances are you miss seeing what's really happening or what's really at work. And I don't want you to look for more than there really is happening there. But I do think that we need to be careful and we need to take great care with those of us who have answered God's call to lead. I mean, it's very interesting. Bill Allison, who's a friend of the radio ministry and has been on the radio program before, he wrote a book, How to Encourage Your Pastor, 12 Ways to Encourage Your Pastor. You can go to cadreministries.org, cadreministries.org. There you'd find the book. I think it's $4. You should pick up a copy. It's really great. But in it, he says this. He says, the pastorate is the only job where you're expected to have, I believe it's 16 core competencies. Mm. You're expected to be able to have perfect grammar, to be a public speaker, to be able to be funny, to be able to be personable, to be good with finances, to be good with vision, to be good with facility and building repair, to be good at managing structures and all these different... I mean, you think of all the things that your pastor wants
and
you to be.
And technical savvy and all the... And you have to have messages like Chuck Swindoll or whoever your favorite radio pastor is each and every week. Oh, by the way, and then you have to spend evenings with hospital visits. Yeah. Oh, and pastoral counseling. Oh, by the way, we got to throw in the next 3 weekends you're going to be doing weddings, so you have all those preparation and rehearsal dinners. And oh, we also need you to adjust these things. And
exactly.
Sit on committees and attend meetings, and it's endless.
I mean, and it is endless. And I'm trying to offer some wisdom here. I'm not complaining. But I am telling you that because of some of those things and things that I've been thinking about and my family has been thinking about, we are trying to be much more careful where all that is concerned because the Bible never commands me to be the kind of counselor that you would go out and you would get, like the kind of counselor that would walk you through trauma. And the Bible commands me to shepherd your heart as you go through that season and then to be wise enough to get good counsel to come in and to do this. But many times as pastors, we try and shoulder that whole burden all on our own. And pastors by nature are high empathy people. So I sit down with somebody who's struggling with something. I'm not devoid of feeling. Like, I feel what they're feeling. I experience what they're experiencing. And listen, then I have to go home with it. And I have to figure out what to do with it. Because when somebody hands you something, you just don't get to just set it down. Mm-hmm. Especially when you feel it and you actually really care about people. And so the reason that I'm even talking about this is because I believe that there are pastors all over Champaign County and even beyond who love their people like crazy. And who are willing to do anything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to serve and to love their people. Almost at the cost of themselves and their families. Mm-hmm. Almost at the cost of themselves and their families. You know, my wife tells this great story. She went to somebody's house to just hang out with them, to visit with them. And the person said, would you like some water? And my wife said, oh, I'd love a glass of water. And the woman went up to the cabinet, and she opened the cabinet, and she there was a kind of like a pause. And she goes, are you okay drinking out of a glass that has like a beer logo on it? I'm so sorry. Hmm. And my wife goes, what are you talking about? Like, my life is not going to fall apart. My faith is not going to be lost. I'm not going to lose my salvation because I drink out of a glass that has a beer logo on it. Will you stop? But my wife also said, in that moment, it was very difficult. Because in that moment, she was put in a position where she was no longer just a person who was over to visit and hang out. She was now somebody who, oh my gosh, do we have the right glass to serve Tasha? Do we have the right this? Do we have the right that? And that weight is crushing. Mm-hmm. Listen, you want that kind of reverence? That's for the great high priest. You want that kind of weight of glory? That's for the great high priest. The rest of us, we're just like you. You know, we just want to be loved, encouraged. We want to walk alongside. We want to faithfully serve the Lord. And we want to do it together, not in isolation, but together.
And yeah. I was thinking earlier, you mentioned that you had been in a number of churches. At least you think that, like, he was driven out of these churches. You might want to qualify. Yeah. You served in a number of churches as special speakers and as pastors. Maybe you were on vacation or something. I mean, before you got your first pastorate right there in Mahomet at the Community Evangelical Free Church of Mahomet, you had a ministry role of developing curriculum and mm-hmm. training, and so you were asked to speak at a variety of churches. So that's where you kind of got to know a lot of behind the scenes.
All different flavors. We've been in United Methodist churches, Presbyterian churches, PCA, PCUSA. We've been in Baptist churches, First Baptist Church, Second Baptist Church, 10th Baptist Church. We've been in all different, you know, non-denominational, all different kinds of churches, a great breadth of them, some that might even surprise you. And listen, you go into all these churches and you go into all these different things, and there's so many different ways that people do things. And the one constant thing is, listen, I don't worry. I don't care about, you know, necessarily the Baptistic nature of what you do or the Methodism or the Presbyterian. Let's talk about the great high priest. Hmm. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus, lest we don't talk about him and we try to be the great high priest. Mm-hmm. I forget what theologian it was, but he said the greatest struggle of man's life is how he tries to wrestle God off the throne. Hmm. You know, and that's what we do. We want to be the great high priest. Why? Because we love the accolades of men. We love the accolades that come with saying, look at what I built. But as I think we'll talk about on Monday, when we talk about Deuteronomy, is that Deuteronomy chapter 8 tells us that that's not the right way to live, because there will come a point where you'll say, look at all these things that I've done. It must have been by my hand that I did that. And then the Bible says that's when you've forgotten the Lord.
I'm thinking of two cautionary lessons maybe to share. Do you have the expectations that your pastor has to be that high priest, has to be perfect in all those multitude of areas? Well, don't. Treat him obviously with respect, be praying for him, help equip him. That might mean you have to take on a role. That might mean additional responsibility you or the board or the deacons or the elders have to take on or do various things. And then secondly, for the pastor that's maybe tuned in that feels like, but I got to be all these things. I have to be that. No, you don't. Right. In fact, God hasn't equipped you to do all those things. He's equipped you to do some things. He's gifted you with very specific skills or talents or abilities, but those are all gifts that he's mm-hmm. given you. And he desires you to come to terms with that you are human. Mm-hmm. I think you've shared this many times with me, Jason. For all have sinned. We're fallen. Yeah. We're not perfect. And don't pretend to be that high priest.
Mm-hmm. You know what? And it really is, some of it is really quite simple. One of the most profound things in this season of life especially is I have a person in my church who emails me every so often. And when they email me, they always close out the email by saying, "I love you." That's what they say. And I look forward to those emails to read that because I know it's true. It's not, it doesn't come from a place where they're just telling me that. They feel that way. And to receive those kinds of true words, that kind of true encouragement, it's life-changing in your day.
Hmm. That book that Bill Allison, or booklet that he's put together to encourage your pastor, even though it's not Pastor Appreciation Month, when is that? Is that in September, October?
That's a whole other program, right?
Yeah,
I hate Pastor Appreciation
sure.
Month.
But how would somebody get a hold of that book or booklet? And
sure, they want to go to cadreministries.org.
And that's C-A-D-R-E?
Yep, ministries.org. And there you'll just click on the store link and go, and you can search for it, 7 ways to encourage your pastor. I would just encourage you to buy a few of them and hand them out to some people in your church, some key people, some key encouragers who could read that and say, you know what, let's get together and be a cadre of people who are going to care for our pastor, who are going to love our pastor, because pastors, they need that. And I'm speaking maybe as a pastor, but more so right now, I just want you to know what I'm hoping to speak as right now is somebody who loves pastors, and I want to see every single one of my brothers go the long haul.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's encourage our pastors not only this weekend on Sunday when we attend church, a good Bible-believing church, but throughout the week and throughout the year. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
There is no problem too big. God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, he cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, he cannot see. Shoulders, I know my brother.